man, it felt amazing, man. It's been a long 4.5 months for me, but I'm just glad to put the pads on and get them back popping, man, just in time for the season.
All right, so that was Dameon Pierce on the post-game show on Saturday. Clint Sterner and I talked to him after the game. 7 carries, 17 yards, so in the box score, nothing major. I thought he had a couple of runs, though, that looked like the old Dameon. You know, there was a lot of moving forward with his runs, I thought, yeah. Seth.
Well, Eddie, and I think with the run game in general in that game, the box score didn't look great for any of the running backs, really. But when you look at the way the game went, the really encouraging thing was there were a lot of runs for first downs.
Yeah.
And they had 13 first downs by the run, 13 first downs by the pass. I think the Lions had 7 total first downs in the game. The Texans were just, they just dominated the game in a lot of ways. But the really interesting thing was, okay, you're getting run for 2 yards here. You're getting a run for 4 yards there. You're getting a 3 yard run, but it's for a first down.
Yeah.
The number of third and shorts in that game, like two thirds of the third downs were third and five or less.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's, you look at the Chiefs last year, they didn't have great offensive numbers, but you know what they did? They got to 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4 a lot, and they played good team football. And like the Texans were the exact opposite. C.J. Stroud had the second most 3rd and 10 pluses in the league last year.
Yeah, yeah, numbers are interesting, because I think if you're a team that averages like 4.5 yards a carry or more, it doesn't really matter how you get to that number. You're probably a pretty good offense. The Texans, if I'm not mistaken, if you take out Mertz's 2 scrambles and the 2 kneel downs at the end of the game, averaged about 3.9 yards per carry in that game, and they ran the ball a lot. Jawar Jordan had 15 carries. Dameon had 7. There were other backs that were carrying the ball in there. And Woody Marks had a bunch of carries, 6 carries, I think, in that game. The 3.9 yards per carry is interesting because that's about what the Texans averaged last year. The problem last year is so often they would average 3.9 yards per carry because Joe Mixon would break off a 60-yard run, and then everything else for the rest of the game would be this slog that was either run stuffs or negative runs.
Yeah.
And this 3.9 yards, to your point, was, hey, it's getting them in 2nd and 7. Hey, that's getting them in 3rd and 3. That, to me, when you have a team that's just not an explosive run game, tell me what the down and distance situations are. You know, because, again, the number they averaged per carry in that game on Saturday was about what they did last season, but they're able to stay on the field. They're able to control the clock. Now, again, none of the guys that were doing this on Saturday are going to be on the field come week 1 against the Rams, but the hope is, and when the glimpses we've seen of the ones in situations, they too have been able to do that.
No, and I think that, so when we get to Dameon Pierce here and some of the things he's talked about, it's very clear in him talking about Nick Caley and perhaps how it compares a little bit to Bobby Slowick, that there's a completely different mindset when it comes to the run game this year.
Yep, let's get to that. Here was Dameon Pierce. Now take a listen to this. Clint and I both looked at each other. He brought up Bobby by name in this cut right here. This was Dameon Pierce. Clint asked him about, hey, your role in this scheme versus your role in last year's scheme.
Man, I'm one of the guys who like seeing the whole line of scrimmage. You know, nothing against Bobby, but, you know, we was, you know, kind of precedent on the outside zone and going lateral before we go vertical. But Caley, you know, he has a whole different approach to the run game. You know, he likes a lot of duos, counters, tight zone. And, you know, periodically he likes to throw a few tosses in there. But like I said in the early interview, Caley kind of knows how to cater to the guys on the field and our skill sets. So I feel like when he see me in the game, you know, he keeps my shoulders square because, you know, that's when I'm at my best, I'm my most dangerous and I'm my most comfortable. So that definitely is some truth to what the commentator was saying. I feel good. Hopefully I look good out there, man. You know, I'm just glad to be back out there.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a shot at Bobby Slowick. I think it's just two different methodologies and that this one fits Dameon Pierce better. And Nick Caley is just by virtue of his play calling all throughout training camp, both in practice and in the games, has shown that this is an offense that he wants to be about blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
That he wants to win physical battles and he wants his running backs to always, as D'Amico says constantly, every time he talks about running backs, he talks about running behind your pads. Like D'Amico, who's so good at kind of simplifying things for players and just letting them understand what the assignment is,
yeah.
I think they want those 2 extra yards you get. They keep it from being instead of 2nd and 10, it's 2nd and 7. and you can work with that. And just above all else, just keep moving forward. And that's what the run game is going to look like. And then, so then the next test is, all right, you get into the regular season. Okay, which of these guys are, it's one thing to bully people in the preseason. It's another thing to bully people in the regular season when all the starters are out there. That's the next big test.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Damian ends up making the team in part because I don't think Joe Mixon is going to – my gut tells me Joe Mixon isn't going to start the season healthy. I just – we haven't even seen Joe Mixon, like, out at practice. Like, he's been persona non grata. And for people who – if Damian ends up making the team, for people who are confused about that maybe, hey, Jawar Jordan's looked better. Damian hasn't practiced at all. They kept Damian around last year when he was not a scheme fit at all.
Yeah.
My guess is that there's a big part of them that does want to see what Damian looks like fully activated in this scheme.
And something that
fits him better.
The two guys that have been injured and haven't done much in training camp are Damian Pierce and Christian Harris. Those are the two guys on either side of the ball that you've kind of been wondering about, okay, what exactly are we going to see? I don't think either of them looked nearly like the most impressive versions of themselves. And Christian Harris got about 13 snaps in the game. And he did, you know, wasn't awful, but also didn't really show up and do some of the things that we've seen him do. Didn't necessarily have any opportunities to go sideline to sideline. I mean, his range is one of the things that's really impressive. Didn't get tested in coverage all that much. But you're almost taking a baseball mentality at this point. You know, I think the coaches are where they know what the upside of both these guys are. They know that they're coming back from injury. And now it's just a matter of, okay, hey, we got Lance McCullers coming back into the fold. Let's see how he does. Is that the name you wanted me to use?
Yeah.
Is that the name?
Yeah. No. Use Javier. Oh, no, wait.
How about Jordan? Okay, yeah, we got Jordan coming back. As Jordan goes, so will go my optimism about Christian Harris and Damian Pierce.
There you go. If you're looking to feel good about Nick Caley and how this team is being coached, this was Damian Pierce when we asked him about pass protection by the running backs. It sure does look like you guys have been more on point with that here in the preseason than you were at the end of last year. What about that, Damian?
Wholeheartedly agree. Well, for one, it starts with Caley and Cole. Cole is like our offensive line coach. So those two guys do a great job of, you know, making it clear and concise for everyone, not just the running backs, everyone involved in pass protection, from the quarterback to the O-line to us, and then even receivers being dialed in on their hots, you know what I'm saying? So big shout-out to those guys. And then just to add more, you know, definition and, you know, being more concise on it, our running back coach, Coach DB, does a great job of making sure we're mentally and physically prepared every day, you know, whether it's drills, whether it's film, whether it's just walking and talking. You know, that's probably the most we spend our time on in the running back room is pass pros. Because, you know, DB has this thing. He says, you know, we know how to run the ball. You know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't know how to run the ball. So just make sure we protect the ball and protect the quarterback. So we spend a lot of time on that, and everybody has done a great job of buying into it and just, you know, putting our pride and joy into it. You know, we're very proudful about pass protection. We're very proudful about keeping seven off the dirt, because, you know, when seven is clean, we have a great chance of winning the football game.
Of the things that have jumped out in the preseason, if I could have a wish list of the things I would carry over into the regular season, if that's not at the top of the list, it's pretty damn close.
The
improvement in the pass protection.
Right. Now, that one, I look that as, I don't think Damian was trying to take a shot at Bobby Slowick, but I interpreted as a shot at Bobby Slowick, and that my biggest complaint with Bobby was it always seemed like he was hell on wheels on the whiteboard. When it came to actually coaching things, I never got the sense that guys were being taught or coached properly. Whereas this is, hey, what's the most important thing? Keeping CJ Stroud healthy. Let's spend time and on it. Let's be sure the offensive line is working with the running backs on pass protection and all those things. And it showed up. I mean, that if there's one thing I'll take from this preseason where I won't say, well, it's just a preseason, it was very clear by virtue of every single running back out there that I can remember had impressive moments in pass protection, including your young guys, your rookies. And that's not normal. Especially for your younger running backs. Usually you're cajoling your running backs to give a damn, your young running backs to give a damn about pass protection.
Yeah.
And that's my most rock solid indicator in my mind that Caley might really know what he's doing, because that was very, very impressive. Whether it was preseason, regular season, whatever, that was impressive.
Here's one more from Damian Pierce. Of course, he was brought back pretty slowly from his injury. He finally was able to put on the pads within the last week, got in at the joint practice, and got 7 carries in the game on Saturday. Was it difficult watching off to the side while guys are competing at your position?
For sure. You know, especially in the deep running back room, we got, you know, as a competitor, you know, it kind of sucked. And, you know, I had my moments of, you know, mentally going through, like, damn, I want to be out there so bad. But just looking at the big picture and looking at the end goal of what I want for myself, it kind of brought me back to earth. And with that end goal being, you know, when I get back to the field, I want to be dominant. I want to be explosive. I want to be the me that I know I can be. And not prove anybody else wrong. I just want to prove – I'm more so focused on proving myself right. You know, the last few years, you know, I kind of just let everybody get to me, you know, rightfully so. You know, this is the NFL. You know, everybody look at what we do. You know, mm-hmm. from the moment we report to camp to the last game of the season, you know. But just being on the sideline, focusing on the main goal, and just getting back healthy so I can get back to my brand of football and my style of play.
You know, when he said that he maybe let everything get to him a little bit, and I thought he was talking about kind of just chatter by the media
noise.
Or fan base or whatever it is. It reminded me a little bit of Arian Foster, and that Arian went through on a much bigger stage and under more scrutiny, got so much love as a young player, and then all of a sudden started to see the flip side of it, and it wears at you, because once you let people in, then all of a sudden they affect you because you're taking in all the positives, and then all of a sudden, wait a second, these people that said they loved me are now saying unkind things about me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a shock to your system.
Yep.
So I like that Damian kind of got to go through that and learn that lesson, maybe without it being quite as drastic, that you gotta focus on the guys in the building and try really, really hard to just – I mean, it's nice to appreciate the nice things people say about you, but you always got to remember that largely that's not actual love.
No,
not actual respect. That's you helping them win their fantasy drafts.
Yeah. Well, and you know who's really good at parsing that out? At least he's, you know, by the talking the talk is CJ Stroud. Because he'll say all the time, like, yeah, well, they love, you know, they'll love you 1 minute, and then the next minute, you know, they hate you the next minute. Sports hate you.
I think he knows that academically. I think all young players these days go through you got to get genuinely calloused at some point.
That's why I said talk the talk. Like, he says the right things, yeah.
Well, CJ went through it to the epitome at Ohio State, and now he's getting it on the flip side where now I get the sense from a lot of Ohio State fans, the ones who will, like, calm down and speak at a normal heart rate,
all 5 of them,
Boy, a lot of these Ohio State fans sure do seem to love CJ Stroud a lot more now than they did when he was at Ohio State. Especially if they're also Browns fans, you know. They're looking at it and they're like, well, sure, I might have criticized CJ a little bit at times back when he was in Columbus, but of course that's all neither here nor there.
He's not the one losing to Michigan anymore. It's somebody else doing that. Although they won the national championship.
CJ had an indoctrination into it earlier about being careful about all the praise.
For sure. Text message, Sean, you had a great take on Woody Marks looking a lot like rookie Damian Pierce. And by that logic, Damian Pierce should be the one who gets cut in 2025. My take on that, I think I had it on this show, I think, and I know I had it on the postgame show, was that if this team were not as good as they are, if they were like the team in 2022 that Damian Pierce was on, I think Woody Marks would be getting a lot of that same Damian Pierce love that Damian was getting in 2022 when for some reason he was behind Rex Burkhead to start the season.
Right.
Woody Marks has popped in practice and in these games. I think Woody Marks, especially if Joe Mixon is hurt, I think Woody Marks is going to be a much bigger part of this team's offense than people anticipate early in the season.
But he's also a different type of running back. So that's where I think that Woody Marks is almost in a separate category than Damian Pierce, that because of his catching ability and everything else, and he's a smaller guy. Right now, you look at Damian Pierce as, all right, this is your classic all-purpose back. Right now we have two other classic all-purpose backs, Joe Mixon, who might not be playing in week one, and Nick Chubb, who has looked good so far, but you still just can't expect that he's going to get 25 carries in a game a few games in a row and be just fine. He's still coming back from his knee injury. He's an aging running back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for where the team is right now, I think they're kind of in separate conversations.
Do you think Woody gets touches in week one again?
Yeah.
If Joe Mixon is hurt, do you think Woody gets touches?
Yeah, especially – yeah, I think the classic simple thing is, okay, at the very least on passing downs, Woody Marks is the guy you want in there because he's shown that you can count on him as a pass protector.
Yeah.
But usually the thing that keeps guys like Woody Marks off the field is, all right, well, great, he's a receiver, but because he can't pass block – and because maybe he's not that good of an actual runner, then the defense, it's easy to, you know, the defense can just treat him like another slot receiver or something. Where Woody Marks, because I think he's got genuine value as an all-around runner, and because he can pass protect, there's no reason not to play him early on.
Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Headlines up next. We'll dig deep on the weekend that the Astros had. What did we like? What did we not like? They're up by two games in the AL West. We like that. We'll dig into the Astros weekend in Baltimore coming up next.